But let me be specific about what we're actually building, because this isn't just rhetoric. This isn't just speeches and statements. This is infrastructure. This is capability. This is power. First, we're building integrated air defense. Every member nation is installing Chinese-made radar systems, the same systems that detected the drone that tried to kill me, the same technology that gave me 4 minutes warning, the same capability that saved my life. These systems are networked, connected across borders, sharing data in real time. When a drone enters Burkina Bay airspace, Mali knows. When an unidentified aircraft crosses into Niger, Chad is alerted. When suspicious flight patterns emerge over Guinea, the entire network is informed. We're creating a continental early warning system, not dependent on Western satellites, not relying on NATO data, not trusting intelligence from people who tried to kill us, our own systems, our own networks, our own capability to see what's happening in our own skies. Second, we're building shared intelligence. Every assassination attempt, every coup plot, every destabilization effort, every piece of evidence we gather is shared across the network. What one nation learns, all nations know. What one government discovers, all governments can access. This shared intelligence has already proven valuable. 2 months after the assassination attempt on me, Niger detected unusual activity. Foreign operatives entering the country. Suspicious meetings with opposition figures. Money transfers from Western intelligence agencies. The pattern was clear. They were preparing something. Niger shared this intelligence with the network. We analyzed it collectively. We identified the threat. We coordinated response. And we stopped a coup attempt before it could begin. Not because Niger had perfect intelligence, but because 12 nations working together have better intelligence than any single nation working alone. Third, we're building economic resilience, because we know that when military assassination fails, economic assassination follows. When drones don't work, sanctions do. When missiles miss, aid cuts hit. We're creating alternative financial systems, trade agreements that don't depend on Western approval, currency arrangements that don't require Western banks, investment partnerships that don't come with Western conditions. We're building an economic architecture that can survive Western pressure because it doesn't depend on Western participation. The African Continental Free Trade Area is our foundation, but we're going further. We're creating a sovereignty defense fund. Every member nation contributes based on GDP. The fund provides emergency support to any nation facing economic retaliation for choosing independence. When sanctions hit, the fund responds. When aid is cut, the fund compensates. When economic pressure is applied, the fund provides alternatives. This fund has already been used twice. When Mali expelled French forces, France cut aid. The fund replaced it. When Niger terminated security agreements, the EU froze assistance. The fund covered the gap. We're proving that economic threats only work if you're alone. But we're not alone anymore. Fourth, we're building military capability, not to invade anyone, not to threaten anyone, but to defend ourselves, to protect our sovereignty, to ensure that our independence is backed by power, not just by words. We're pooling resources to purchase advanced defense systems, anti-aircraft missiles, electronic warfare equipment, cyber defense capabilities, everything we need to make assassination attempts harder, coup plots riskier, foreign interventions costlier. We're training together. Joint exercises, shared doctrine, coordinated response protocols, so that if one of us is attacked, all of us can respond. So that threatening one African nation means confronting 12 African nations. So that the cost of intervention becomes too high to justify. Fifth, and most importantly, we're building narrative power. Because the battle isn't just military or economic, it's informational. It's about who gets to tell the story. Who gets to define what happened? Who gets to shape global perception? For too long, Western media controlled the narrative about Africa. They decided which stories mattered. They determined which leaders were legitimate. They shaped how the world understood African events. And they used that power to justify interventions, support coups, and maintain control. We're changing that. Every member nation is investing in media infrastructure, Pan-African news networks, continental social media platforms, alternative information channels that don't depend on Western technology or Western approval. We're telling our own stories, broadcasting our own truth, sharing our own evidence, and the world is listening. Because authenticity is powerful. Because documentation is undeniable. Because truth, when properly presented, defeats propaganda. The assassination attempt on me has been viewed over 200 million times. Not because Western media covered it, they barely mentioned it, but because we documented it, we shared it. We made it impossible to ignore. We bypassed their media gatekeepers and spoke directly to the world. That's the power we're building. The power to speak. The power to document. The power to share truth without asking permission from people who profit from hiding truth. They tried to kill me to stop this. They failed. And now it's unstoppable. Because you can kill a leader, but you can't kill an idea whose time has come. You can assassinate a president, but you can't assassinate a movement. You can drone strike an individual, but you can't drone strike a continent awakening to its own power. Every day more nations inquire about joining. Every week more leaders reach out. Every month the network grows stronger. What started with 12 nations will be 20 within a year. 30 within 2 years. Eventually the entire continent. Because every African leader faces the same choice I faced. Obey and survive in comfort. Or resist and risk everything. And increasingly leaders are choosing resistance. Not because it's easy. Not because it's safe, but because it's right. Because sovereignty matters. Because dignity has value. Because freedom is worth fighting for. To NATO, you made a mistake. Not the mistake of missing your target. The mistake of trying in the first place. Because you showed us what we already suspected. That you see African leaders as obstacles to be eliminated, that you view our sovereignty as a threat to be destroyed, that you consider our lives expendable in pursuit of your control. And now we know. Now we have proof. Now we have evidence. Now we have documentation. And now we're united in response. Let me tell you what your mistake cost you. What you lost when that Hellfire missile missed my convoy and killed 3 civilians instead. You lost legitimacy. For decades, you claimed to be in Africa to protect us, to fight terrorism, to promote stability, to defend democracy. The assassination attempt exposed that lie. You're not here to protect us. You're here to control us. And when we refuse control, you try to kill us. You lost credibility. You can't claim to respect sovereignty while attempting to assassinate presidents. You can't talk about partnership while conducting drone strikes on allies. You can't promote democracy while eliminating democratically elected leaders. The contradiction is too obvious. The hypocrisy is too clear. You lost monopoly. For decades, you were the only option for African security, the only source of military training, the only provider of defense equipment, the only partner for counterterrorism. But your assassination attempt drove us to find alternatives. To build relationships with China, Russia, Turkey, Iran, anyone who doesn't try to kill us. You created the competition you feared by making cooperation with you too dangerous. You lost access. Nation after nation is expelling your troops, closing your bases, terminating your agreements. Not because they love our new partners more than they loved you, but because they trust our new partners won't try to kill them. That's a low bar, and you couldn't clear it. You lost the future. An entire generation of African leaders watched you try to kill me. They saw the evidence. They heard my speech. They witnessed your denials. And they learned. They learned that Western partnership comes with the risk of assassination. They learned that demanding respect can get you killed. They learned that sovereignty has a price, and that price might be paid in blood. But they also learned something else. They learned that you can survive, that you can resist, that you can expose them, that you can build alternatives, that you can unite with others, that you can be free. And that lesson is more powerful than all your drones, more influential than all your aid, more lasting than all your military presence, because that lesson will shape African leadership for generations. You can't kill all of us. You can't assassinate every African leader who demands respect. You can't drone strike every president who chooses sovereignty. You can't murder your way to continued control. The mathematics are simple. You tried to kill one leader and created 12 committed opponents. If you try to kill one of those 12, you'll create 100. If you try to kill 100, you'll create 1,000. Each assassination attempt multiplies resistance. Each drone strike strengthens resolve. Each murdered leader inspires 10 more to stand. You're facing exponential opposition, and you created it yourselves by trying to kill me, by thinking assassination was a solution, by believing African leaders could be eliminated without consequence. And even if you could kill all of us, even if you could assassinate every resistant leader, even if you could drone strike your way to submission, we've documented everything, every strike, every casualty, every crime, every violation, and one day there will be accountability. One day there will be justice. One day the world will know what you've done. The African Evidence Archive contains documentation of 473 drone strikes, 214 civilian deaths, 17 assassination attempts on African leaders over the past decade, hundreds of coup plots, thousands of violations of sovereignty, all of it documented, all of it preserved, all of it ready to be released. We've created a dead man switch. If enough of us are killed, if enough leaders are assassinated, if enough nations are attacked, the entire archive goes public. Every document, every piece of evidence, every proof of every crime, released simultaneously to every media outlet in the world, impossible to suppress, impossible to deny, impossible to ignore. You're not just fighting 12 African leaders, you're fighting history, you're fighting documentation, you're fighting evidence that will outlast all of us. You're fighting truth that can't be killed with drones. What will I tell my grandchildren when they ask what I did during Africa's moment of awakening? What will I say when they ask how I responded when NATO tried to kill me? I will tell them their grandfather survived, not through luck, not through accident, but through preparation, through building systems that detected the threat, through making decisions that saved lives, through having the courage to divert when every instinct said to stay the course. I will tell them I exposed them, not quietly, not diplomatically, not through proper channels, but publicly, loudly, with evidence they couldn't deny, with documentation they couldn't suppress, with truth they couldn't hide. I will tell them I united others, not through forcing agreement, not through demanding loyalty, but through showing that resistance is possible, through proving that survival is achievable, through demonstrating that alternatives exist. I will tell them I built alternatives, not by rejecting all partnerships, not by isolating ourselves, but by diversifying relationships, by creating options, by ensuring we're never again dependent on partners who see us as expendable. I will tell them I refuse to be silenced, not because I'm brave, not because I'm fearless, but because silence would have meant accepting that African leaders can be killed for demanding respect. Silence would have meant agreeing that our lives are expendable. Silence would have meant surrendering the sovereignty I was elected to defend. I will tell them I chose to fight rather than surrender. Not because fighting was easy, not because victory was certain, but because surrender was unacceptable. Because submission was worse than death. Because living on your knees is not living at all. And they will know their grandfather was free, truly free, completely free, permanently free. Not because he was never attacked, but because he survived the attack and kept fighting. Not because he was never threatened, but because he faced the threat and didn't back down. Not because he was never afraid, but because he chose courage over fear. I was afraid that night, when the alert came, when my security chief said we needed to divert, when I made the decision that saved our lives, I was terrified. My hands were shaking, my heart was racing, my mind was calculating the odds of survival, but I made the decision anyway. I gave the order to divert. I chose survival over routine. I prioritized safety over schedule, and that choice saved my life. Fear doesn't make you weak. Fear is information. Fear tells you the stakes are real. Fear reminds you that death is possible. Fear focuses your mind on what matters. Courage isn't the absence of fear. Courage is making the right decision despite fear. Courage is acting when action is dangerous. Courage is standing when standing might get you killed. I was afraid, and I acted anyway. That's what I'll tell my grandchildren, that their grandfather felt fear and chose courage, that he faced death and chose life, that he confronted threats and chose resistance. 17 days ago, NATO tried to kill me. They failed. And what happened next shocked them more than they could have imagined. I'm still here, still leading, still speaking, still building, still free. Every morning, I wake up knowing I survived what was meant to kill me. Every day, I lead knowing they might try again. Every night, I sleep knowing I've built systems that make success harder for them and survival more likely for me. I'm still here, and that fact alone is victory, because they wanted me gone. They needed me silent. They required my elimination, and I denied them. By surviving, by speaking, by exposing, by uniting, by building. And I'm not alone anymore. 12 nations stand with me. Millions of Africans support me. A continent is awakening behind me. President Goweda called me last week. He said, "Brother, I sleep better now. Not because the threats have decreased, but because I know I'm not alone. I know that if they try to kill me, 11 other nations will respond. I know that if they assassinate me, my death will be documented. I know that if they eliminate me, the movement continues." That's what we've built. Not just defense against assassination, but assurance that our deaths won't be meaningless, that our sacrifices won't be forgotten, that our resistance will continue even if we fall. They tried to silence one voice. They created a chorus. I was one leader demanding respect. Now there are 12. Soon there will be 20. Eventually there will be 50. The chorus grows louder with each nation that joins. The message becomes clearer with each leader who stands. The movement becomes stronger with each government that resists. They can't silence a chorus by eliminating one voice. They can't stop a movement by killing one leader. They can't defeat a continent by assassinating one president. They tried to eliminate one leader. They inspired a movement. I was just one president, one voice, one nation, significant to Burkina Faso, but not necessarily to the continent, important to my people, but not necessarily to the world. But the assassination attempt changed that. It made me a symbol, not because I'm special, not because I'm uniquely brave, but because I survived. Because I exposed them. Because I proved that resistance is possible. Now I'm not just a president, I'm proof. Proof that they can be defied. Proof that they can be exposed. Proof that they can be resisted. Proof that African leaders who demand respect can survive, even when powerful forces want them dead. And that proof inspires others. Presidents who were afraid are now emboldened. Leaders who were hesitant are now committed. Nations that were uncertain are now resolved. They tried to kill one president. They awakened a continent. Africa was sleeping, not literally, but metaphorically, accepting the status quo, tolerating Western control, believing we had no alternatives, thinking resistance was impossible, assuming sovereignty was a dream rather than an achievable reality. The assassination attempt was an alarm, a wake-up call. A moment of clarity that revealed the truth we'd been avoiding. They don't see us as partners. They see us as subjects. They don't want us to be strong. They want us to be dependent. They don't respect our sovereignty. They tolerate it only as long as we don't actually exercise it. And when we do exercise it, when we actually demand respect, when we truly choose independence, they try to kill us. That truth is waking Africa up, nation by nation, leader by leader, person by person. The continent is opening its eyes to reality, and reality is radicalizing. We are Africa, we are sovereign, we are free. Not aspirationally, not theoretically, not in some distant future, but now, today, actually, really, completely. We are sovereign because we exercise sovereignty. We make our own decisions. We choose our own partners. We defend our own interests. We determine our own future. We are free because we act free. We don't ask permission. We don't seek approval. We don't wait for authorization. We build what we need. We create what we want. We become what we choose. And we will never surrender that freedom again. Not to threats, not to pressure, not to sanctions, not to drones, not to missiles, not to assassination attempts, not to anything. Because we've seen their worst. And we survived. The worst thing they could do, they did. They tried to kill me. They failed. And in failing, they revealed their weakness. They showed that assassination isn't a guaranteed solution. They demonstrated that African leaders can build defenses. They proved that resistance is survivable. And now we're building something they can't destroy. An Africa that defends itself. An Africa that documents their crimes. An Africa that demands accountability. An Africa that refuses to be controlled. We're building it with Chinese radar systems that detect their drones. We're building it with shared intelligence that exposes their plots. We're building it with alternative partnerships that reduce our dependence. We're building it with economic resilience that withstands their pressure. We're building it with military capability that raises the cost of intervention. We're building it with narrative power that tells our truth. And most importantly, we're building it with unity. 12 nations now, more joining constantly, a network that grows stronger with each addition, a coalition that becomes more powerful with each member, a continent that awakens more fully with each passing day. They tried to kill me. I survived. And Africa is awake.